You don't always have to be big or have a mouth full of serrated teeth to rule the shallows. In the dangerous waters off Indonesia lurks an assassin. Armed with real-life superpowers, he's large and in charge, despite being only 6 inches long. Pound for pound, he packs the biggest punch in the natural world. This is the peacock mantis shrimp. Actually, he's not a shrimp or a mantis. But stomatopod just doesn't have the same ring to it. He's worked up an appetite. So, time to bring out the big guns. For coastline creatures around the globe, life's a beach. But that doesn't mean the living is easy. From warm shallows to sandy shores, predators creep, rivals collide, and everyone is fair game. Seaside fantasy? Please. It's a jungle out there. The tomb was so full that it took Carter and his team 10 years to remove the treasures and transport them across the desert to Cairo. As the excavation progressed, Carter was hampered by the size of the site. The burial chamber was so cramped that the team could barely fit around the gilded shrines. It was soon clear that this was an unusually small tomb for a ruler of ancient Egypt. The size and poor preparation of Tutankhamun's tomb have long puzzled Egyptologists. Back at the Grand Egyptian Museum, some of the artifacts might provide a clue. This consignment of objects from the tomb contains shabtis, models of servants intended to serve the pharaoh after death. There were more than 400 of these small figures, many of which have never been displayed before. Each one should look like Tutankhamun, bearing the same face as his death mask.
It's funny with the googly eyes.
But they've raised questions for Salima. In the Russian Far East, a young tiger is on the move. He passes the sleeping village of Tanay, then heads north into the forest. Nobody sees him, but his presence hasn't gone unnoticed. Life's a zoo for Bud DeYoung and Carrie Kramer as they await the arrival of white tiger cubs.
She was due on the 12th.
It's very important you have those babies soon.
A nasty blizzard bears down on Michigan's Upper Peninsula.
Let's have
Perfect
some 10 below
to
zero.
Have some cubs.
Yeah.
Though the storm triples their workload, Bud and Carrie find time to rescue a wild stallion, save a dying calf.
He's in pain, he doesn't want to get up.
And chaperone a scary introduction. With traditional practice not working, Colin decides it's time for a new approach. Visualization. Rebecca will rehearse the entire sequence in her brain. She visualizes every stage of the somersault. The moment she releases the bar, the instant she twists her body, and the second she catches the bar. And she does this over and over again. The story of the skull from St. Mark's Cemetery remains shrouded in darkness in the decades following Mozart's death. Its existence did not come to light until the middle of the 19th century. The trail of the skull was picked up again at the Narrenturm, or Fool's Tower, an eye-catching building in Vienna, built on the orders of the Emperor Joseph II. Rope walking has been practiced all over the world. but it is believed to have originated 2,000 years ago in ancient Greece. Such feats of balance became hugely popular during the Middle Ages, until outlawed by the clergy. It wasn't until the French Revolution that funambulists, or rope walkers, again began to thrill audiences. The most famous rope walker of the 19th century was Jean-François Gravelet, otherwise known as the Great Blondin. Throughout mysterious Britain, many of the clues to our past are in fact memorials to the dead, as many a churchyard will testify. Behind the high street shops and identical town centres from north to south, behind this recently acquired facade lies century upon century of lives lived, of conflict and intrigue, endless comedies and tragedies played out by the great, the noble, and the perfectly ordinary. Because the first dike gave way after dark, most villagers had no way of knowing that the North Sea was upon them. The dikes had burst in three places. Trapped in their homes, many fled to their attics, but that was not high enough. Whole families were crushed or drowned as their houses collapsed. By daybreak, the sea had demolished 70 dikes and pushed nearly 75 kilometres inland. Nearly 2,000 people lost their lives. It took 10 months to repair the dikes and pump out the seawater.